Plus, I don't have to have this on. I can breathe for a change. Father, once again, in your precious name, Lord, we come, Lord, blessing and praising you, Lord. Lord, we just magnify your already magnified name, dear Lord. Father, we extol you because you are our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you lifted our heads this morning off of the pillows, dear Lord. You saw fit for us to be here in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we say today, not my will, but your will be done, dear Lord. And we bless you, Lord, for those that have pushed their way to come out here today, dear Lord. And Father, we thank you for your word, dear Lord. Not my word, but your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are times when you talk to people and you speak to people and you talk to them and you text them back 15 or 20 times and they still don't trust God. It's like they say they believe him, but do you really trust? So the message today is, what will it take for some of us to trust God? Amen. What will it take for us to trust God explicitly, wholeheartedly, faithfully, and ultimately with our lives? There are some truths and some steps that need to be put in place before we can say that we really trust God. First of all, we have to determine in our hearts whether or not we actually believe in God's existence. You know, we say we believe and you talk to people here and there. Oh, yeah, I believe God, all right, because my grandma was a praying so-and-so. And she was with me all the time. Yeah, I believe God because she talked about God all the time. But do you believe God? Do you trust God? You can't trust in somebody that you don't believe exists. So that's why we ask, do you really believe in the existence of God? Now we're going to talk, or we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 8:6, and that kind of backs this up. It says, but for us, there is only one God, the Father. Everything came from him, and we live for him. There is only one Lord, Jesus Christ. Everything came into being through him, and we live because of him. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 states, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. So we're still setting some groundwork on believing God's existence, which takes us to another prerequisite for trusting God. Do you believe that he really loves us? Do you really believe that he loves us? You know, you talk to people and I know he doesn't love me because I did this and I've done that and I've backslidden, woo, 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 woo. But do you really believe that he loves us? And you know, we have to look at the word even to come to that conclusion. Would you really trust somebody that, would you really trust someone that feels that they don't love you? That's the thing about, that's why some people think that God doesn't love them, so that's why they don't trust him. Wholeheartedly, we're talking about the fact that what will it take for us to trust God? Okay. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16 establishes the fact that God loved us so much that he preferred or performed the ultimate act of love by giving his only Son for our eternal lives. If that's not love, I can't imagine what one could expect for proof of love. By this sacrifice, we know that God loves us and that we can trust him. We're talking about trust today. What will it take for us to trust God? By the way, we can't even put the cart before the horse because there's another element missing that must be added before we get to totally trust in God. We've established the fact that he loves us by trading his Son for our eternal lives. But have you taken advantage of that opportunity to live eternally by believing in that act of love and confessing your belief in Jesus? Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're still building a foundation for trusting God. What will it take for us to trust God? Do you actually believe the Bible is true? The true, unadulterated, pure, complete, absolute word of God? Or do we think the Bible was written to control our lives or to put a damper on our fun? It is impossible to trust God if you don't believe that the Bible is true. Psalm 119:10 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If we can't trust the word of God to be true, then we can't trust God. What will it take for us to trust God? Okay, our foundation has been laid. It's structured with truths that need to be established before one can trust God wholeheartedly. Fact number one, we must believe in God's existence, having faith that he is who he says his word says he is. Fact two, in order to trust him, we must believe that he loves us. Fact number three, we must believe in the entire work of the cross, having confessed the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Moving on to what trust actually means. When you put trust in something or someone, it means that you look to them as a refuge, as a place of safety, a shelter from danger or trouble. It's just simply security, right? The words translated trust in the Bible literally mean a bold, confident, sure security or action based on that security. Now, that security or action that we're basing on is the security and trust in God. Trust is not exactly the same as faith, which is a gift of God, rather. Trusting is what we do because of the faith we have been given. Trusting is believing in the promises of God in all circumstances, even in those when evidence seems to be contrary to what we need to happen. We must trust and believe in God's promises day by day. Psalm 91:2 says, "I will trust of the Lord. You are my refuge and my fortress, my God, and you will I trust." It is the Lord in whom we must trust, not our wisdom, not our plans, not the world's plans, not the world's take on life, not our VFS idea of what we need to do. What will it take for us to trust in God? There are times when we can't trust a doctor and his assessment of our body's conditions. First, consult the greatest physician that ever lived. His name is Jesus. Point in case, in Mark 5, when Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house to attend his 12-year-old daughter that had taken sick, he received a message that the girl was dead. What did Jesus say? "Don't be afraid, just believe. Trust the word of God for your circumstances. Trust God for your healing. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel on based on what it feels like or what it looks like or what the doctor says. There are many sicknesses and diseases that have been remedied by medication. We need our doctors. We believe in doctors. But use your God-given wisdom when all else fails. Do you trust God for your victory? Because there are times when doctors have written us off, and all of a sudden the people live 95 years later. What will it take for us to trust God? There's the issue of trusting God for protection, safety. For your protection, do you trust your gun? Do you trust your taser? Do you trust your alarm or your switchblade? I carry a switchblade. For protection, more than you trust God? Do you trust those things more than you trust God? David was on the run for his life in tremendous stress for more than 13 years. We present God a situation that we need help in. And if he hasn't come to our rescue in 13 minutes, we drop the mic on God. We said, "That's it. I'm done. I knew you weren't going to come. I got $5. I'm going down to the Fast Market and buy myself 5 scratchers." What will it take for us to trust God? We need to be patient. We need to wait on God. He will come through. 2 Chronicles 15:7. "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." It is believed that Job suffered for years based on some timelines, possibly months on end. The patience that Job exhibited and the trust that he placed in God is mind-blowing. You've lost all of your children. You've lost your workers, your wealth. You're hungry. You're diseased. Your friends have shamed you. And this is nothing short for Job of heroic endurance. We are told in 2 Timothy 2, 3 to 5 to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It takes endurance to trust God. When we keep our peace in the storms of life, the hardships, the bad times, the sickness, the fear of lack, the testings of our jobs and our families, we know that we've graduated to the next level of trust that God wants us to have in Him. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." What will it take for us to trust God? We must go to God's word. That's our foundation for trusting. Jesus is the word. When you go to the word, chew on it, eat and digest it. You will have a foundation to stand on in every situation in your life. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen. Solomon was wealthy, but he knew that with everything that he owned and all the wealth that he had acquired, that it all belonged to God and that he couldn't depend on his wealth to see him through. Mm-hmm. Whether it's your finances that keep you balled up in a night of fear, or your children that keep playing around the cesspools of life, it could be your health that has you in a tizzy, or the people on your job that continue to test you. In many cases, today it's a family squabble, squabbles and battles of the he said, she said, you said, I said. Mom and dad helped you more than they did me, and it goes on and on and on. You find family members killing one another because somebody got the money that they were supposed to have. Whatever your issues are, in order to prosper and be in health, to receive the blessings of God, both spiritual and natural, we must learn to trust God. Amen. Third John says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." 1 Peter 4:12, 13, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which come to try you, as though something strange happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." I leave to you today the words of God found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and in Jeremiah 29:11. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." In Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, an expected end." We must trust God, believe that what he says is true, in order to walk in the fullness of what he has promised us. What will it take for you to trust God? Amen.